Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Family for Every Child's Conversations on Care podcast. My name's Amanda Griffith, and I'm the CEO at Family for Every Child. This podcast is a space where we can talk directly to practitioners about how they are providing care to vulnerable children and families around the world. At Family for Every Child, we are a growing network of currently 41 local civil society organisations working on the ground in 37 countries. And these organisations have a wealth of knowledge and experience from years of working with children and communities to develop solutions to improve children's care. We are looking at the positive outcomes that occur when civil society organisations come together and collaborate. This series supports the launch of Changemakers for Children, our online platform that aims to create a strong global community of local civil society organisations to create lasting change for children around the world. Today, we're focusing on the topic of practice exchange. At Family for Every Child, practice exchange is an important aspect of how we work together as an alliance. We support organisations to share their knowledge and experience with each other in order to develop and strengthen their own work and to potentially stimulate longer term collaboration. Practice exchanges take different forms. One way is for a member to learn about another member's work is to visit their organisation and see firsthand their programme in action. Two members who have taken part in practice exchange visits are Butterflies in India and Nyukoni in Mexico. Based in New Delhi, Butterflies works to protect and empower street and working children. And in Puebla, Mexico, Nyukoni works to prevent and heal the consequences of family violence affecting children, young people and their families living in extreme poverty and who've been living on the street. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by two of our founding members, Rita Panica, who is the CEO of Butterflies, and Isabel Crowley, the Executive Director of Nyukoni. Rita and Isabel, welcome and thank you very much for joining this conversation.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So, I'll start off with the first thing, if I may. And Rita, this is a great example of a practice exchange between local CSOs because it involves a two-way learning experience with both organisations developing an area of their work as a result of what you learn from the other's practice. So Rita, I'd like you to start, if you could, by asking you how the initial practice exchange came about for Butterflies.
Well, it came about when I got to know of Nyukoni and I was having discussions with Alison Lane, who was the previous CEO. And when I got to know more about Nyukoni's work, I realized that how important mental health is in development work. And I wanted to know more about it and learn from Nyukoni. And that was the starting point of my, I would say, numerous conversations and discussions with the CEO of Nyukoni, Alison Lane. And it was very, very insightful. And I realized that there was something that Butterflies lacked in its work with children, families, and communities. And that was mental health.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So what was it about how Nyukoni's approach to mental health that really struck you and struck a chord that you thought would be relevant for your work?
Struck me was that, you know, normally what happens in when you work with children and especially the most marginalized, the whole focus is on education, healthcare, and life skills, technical help, and you go on in that way. But even when you speak about health, we forget that it's not just physical health, but we should talk about holistic health, and that is also mental health and emotional well-being of children. But emotional well-being of children depends very much on their family and the parents. Now, if the family itself is dysfunctional, then you would find that children would leave their homes, and most of the street children on the streets have left because of dysfunctionalities of their families or because of domestic violence in the family. So those were the reasons. Now that made me to think that this is an area that we should be working in, you know, and how come we didn't think about it all these years, you know, until I came across Bocconi. And Bocconi pointed out, you know, that that mental health is a very, very important area of intervention as much as other development interventions that you can have. That's it.
And how did you find out more about it? Did you visit UConi? Were you part of some specific event? Or how was it that you got the insights to take back to India, first of all?
An alliance, we used to meet. We used to come together for meetings. That's when I used to have my conversations and discussions. But then there was a meeting in Puebla where we went for that meeting. And at that time, Bocconi took us around and gave us a presentation of their program. But also we had some field visits. We met some of the staff of Bocconi. And that was the starting point for me to say that this is something that butterflies can learn from. And to talk about the process, what we did was then one of my young colleagues traveled to Mexico, visited Bocconi, spent time there, and understanding their program, understanding their approaches, interventions, had numerous discussions with the staff, and it was a hands-on experience that this my colleague got. And so when she came back and she had all these copious notes, you know, and she did a presentation to all of us, and we said, here we are, now we should go ahead, you know, we have to think about it, you know. And I must say, Amanda, I also took the opportunity of visiting Bocconi's area in the field when I went to Puebla to run a training program on child participation. And Isabel, I mean, it was very, very kind of her, generous, that she gave me so much of time, as well as her team members gave me so much of time. And I must say, the conversation discussions that I had with them were so insightful. I don't think I would have got it from any kind of a research book, because you can read on this. But it's another thing talking to people who are directly working with people and then seeing what is happening. And that's a wealth of knowledge which you can't get from anywhere else. And I really, really owe it to Bocconi for giving that space and that time and that immense generosity to share their knowledge with us.
Brilliant. And that leads me briefly into my question to you, Isabel, because this has been an approach of UConi's, isn't it? Is to be really, really open with your experience and your understanding and knowledge and share it with other practitioners, and to really this crucial piece, as Rita says, of having visits, which enables people to not just read about the approach, but to be able to be practitioners, part of the approach, to live and breathe it, really. So do you want to talk a little bit more about why you, as UConi, feel that's an important approach that you've taken to sharing your knowledge?
Absolutely. I find that these exchange visits are absolutely priceless. You know, what you learn, as Rita so clearly said, what you learn from a visit, because you are there, you are absorbing not just the issue of mental health in this case, but so many other issues, so many other really little pieces that make the whole approach possible and effective. So the relationships that you learn, the rich experiences that you get, the network knowledge that you also gain, and it's not just, you know, the person that is visiting that gain, we also gain, because we learn from their programs too. And then, for example, in our case, we started child participation in a much more focused and determined way than we were doing before, and is now one of our three main axes to our program. And just think, you know, you've got all of a sudden 41 friends that are the NGOs in the countries that we have, Family for Every Child. and we can discuss issues. We can learn from our experiences. We can actually have, it's a bit like having a laboratory of the various experiences in a contained manner, but also the richness of exchange is where I really would like to point out for us. We've had many, many visits, but Rita's visit was quite crucial because not only did she, participate in our Congress and actually talk for 500 people that were in the Congress, but also she then gave us a training program, exactly what she was doing in India with child participation. And although not everything has and can be, adapted to our programs, a great part of it is. And so, we all become richer in the process.
Mm. And you picked up an interesting point there, Isabel, because both of you work with street-connected children and their families, but you work in different contexts. And to what extent, then, have you found, and maybe, Rita, you want to respond to this first, and then Isabel, her reflections, on how you can apply learning from a different context. What's the process then of saying what is the essence of this that has relevance, and what do I have to rethink because of a different context? How did you find that in terms of taking forward the therapeutic approaches of Yukone?
For us, what we did was that we adapted because we realized that to go into too much of clinical work would not work for us. Mm-hmm. And therefore we have the intervention of social casework, which is therapeutic, which has therapeutic approach in it, but it is social casework. So when you do social casework, the difference, I mean, I won't say it's a very major difference, the difference being that you work both with the child, you work with the family members, but also with the peers who could be one of the factors causing the problem. We also work with the community who could also be an issue that is causing the problem. And we work with the school system. So for us, it is a very ecological way of working. And that's why we adapted to us as a social casework methodology of bringing mental health into our program. And today, mental health, we have a whole unit, a mental health unit with medical and psychiatric social workers in the team. And it cuts across all our programs. And we have a child health and sports cooperative. As you know, Butterflies is, we are very much into children's participation. So everything is children's. Agency is very important for us. So in our health cooperative, we do have buddies, and these buddies are actually trained in basic communications and counseling. And therefore, they are the first person that their friends or peers reach out to when they have a problem. And it is the buddies who listen to them and then touch base with the caseworker. So I must say this to Isabel and to you, Amanda, that in 2020, with this COVID and pandemic, the buddies played a stellar role. I mean, they were on their phones talking to their friends to find out how they are doing, and they really helped. So this is the adaptation, I would say, how we adapted the Hukoni's work to us, and the approach is different, but I would say that the fundamental framework, which is talking about emotional well-being, talking about mental health, is central.
Mm. That's fascinating. So actually what you've described is how you, as you say, the expertise of butterflies is in children's participation, and you've integrated into children's participation the Uconi approach to therapeutic thinking, which is a beautiful sort of blending of the two approaches. So rather than just sort of saying, I'll apply it to my context, here we go, it's sort of saying, where are my strengths? How can I actually blend those together? And I wondered, Isabel, a little bit of your experience of taking from Butterfly's work on children's participation, how have you adapted it to not just your context, it sounds like, but also to your organisational strengths and things?
Yes, well, as I said, we now got a new strategy that we started in 2021. And of course, child participation is one of the main areas of work. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because what Rita is saying is what happened in Mexico. We learned from the experience of how Rita had incorporated child participation in her programs. And now we have a blend. And it's interesting that in our own programs, the approach we have for the children that we are working with around the volcano, Popocatépetl, for example, is different from the example of how we deal with the families and how we involve child participation. And also we took it to the networks that we work. We are involved in two networks. I'm actually the president of both. One has got 77 organizations all across Mexico. And we also included child participation in that network. And another one is one in Puebla, where we have got our main operation, which has got 33 organizations. So not only we are implementing ourselves in Puebla and in the other networks, but we're also bringing it to the country as a whole, our experience and how we transfer the excellent knowledge that we got from the training from Rita and Butterfly. So it's really, it's so interesting. And it's done in a such a Mexican way too, but it's so, has got many of the elements that the Indian program too. And I just also want to point out, you know, we had visits from the legal services for children too, from the US. And we're talking about migration, and we have contact with Mulberry in the UK, and there we're talking about special, different, difficult children and foster care. We're talking with Ivan in Chile about issues such as sexual exploitation. And we met in the Guatemala, and we had that amazing meeting about all sorts of other issues. So, you know, child participation, what we did between India and Mexico was so interesting. In fact, we had a visit program for March a year ago. And unfortunately with the COVID, we couldn't do it. But I just thought that also COVID gave us other opportunities. We never thought that we could be so connected digitally, and we could be, you know, doing webinars. We now do webinars for 900 people in Latin America on child participation. We never thought we could do that. But in fact, COVID opened our eyes in other areas of opportunity. And I think that's something that we can really explore and that we're going to have to deal with for the new normality. But as far as I am concerned, there's nothing like going, visiting, absorbing, you know, an image can be 1,000 words. And really you find the mood, you find the little things that actually make it work, the nuts and bolts that make it work. And I think, you know, obviously when you come back, you have to adapt it to your country as we talked, but the richness of the experience of a visit, it's really priceless. Mm.
Yeah. So there is that visit pending, Isabel. I think your team members need to visit Delhi and actually have a hands-on experience. And as we had discussed, we will have a joint program on children's participation, which is going to be on media, and we're working on that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful example of it wasn't just a practice exchange. What you said is actually you've built on that now, not only within your own programs, but actually now a future collaboration of saying actually there's a whole project piece of work we could be doing together. So there's this starting point of saying, let's have a conversation. That's really interesting. Explored that conversation. I had that discussion, then had the visits and the opportunity to become part of the practice of the other practitioner, to then gradually identify actually there's a future collaboration here, which is a fantastic sort of growth process from a what would seem like quite a simple thing as a conversation. I wondered, Rita, in your view, about we've looked at the importance of practice exchange and how valuable you found it. I wondered if there's also an element that you think is different about families practice exchange, because it is with your peers, it's practitioner to practitioner. And as Isabel said, you know, it's meeting Ivan in Chile, it's meeting Ron in the States. It's that opportunity of talking to your peers. Is that different from your experience of other practice exchanges and opportunities of learning? And if so, can you pull out what you think might be different?
Yes, I think so, Amanda. The important thing is that, you know, sometimes, I mean, we work in our own silos, and we also kind of think that, in our cultural context, that will not work. You know, it works there, but it doesn't work here. But the fact is that you have not really understood, and therefore you have that, I would say, a defense mechanism to say that culturally we are different. Socially, we are different, and therefore it will not work. It's not so, because I think it's so very important to learn from different cultures and social and political systems as to how they were able to manage certain social problems. Like, for example, when you work in a silo and you're struggling with a particular complex issue, you don't know what kind of an intervention would be relevant. And there would be perhaps another organization or practitioners working in Africa or in Latin America or in Europe or in North America doing that and have come up with some relevant interventions. You can learn from that. And if you can learn from that and share that, and if you take it and adapt it to your own work on your own program, what does it say? It is validating your own work. It validates that no matter where you are, if you do have a very relevant intervention for a complex issue and it has shown a successful impact, you can take it and adapt it to your own cultural context, you know? And that only validates another organization's work. And it's an appreciation, it's the relevance. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think the Alliance, I mean, what I really, really appreciate about the Alliance is that we are spread all over the world, even in tiny little islands in the Pacific. But yet, we can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. I think I've learned from Sandria, from Jamaica, talking about disability, you know. And I learned from Europe, from Karen, from Mulberry Bush. I've learned from Ron as to what happens to children on the move, you know. So this kind of a learning, you know, I think it's something that we should treasure. Mm-hmm. I would say we cannot get this from any lectures. You won't get it from a PhD thesis. You won't get it from a great research done by some sociologist or psychologist or anthropologist or an economist. But here, the real workers, that is the frontline workers, the practitioners, they have the expertise, they have the knowledge, they know what the challenges are. Where else can you get that? So I think it's a fantastic way of learning, the practice exchange, sharing and learning.
Thanks, Rita. So, and Isabel, well, you've already alluded to it, but maybe we should explore this a bit more, is the vibrancy and the sort of the fact that you can really touch and feel and experience the other project when you're visiting is so important. But of course, we can't do that at the moment because of COVID and reality, who knows when. And also, we can't visit multiple countries. We all, you know, we haven't got the time to do it. So what in your experience that you were talking about is the potential for at least trying to get some of the essence of learning from each other through digital technology. You were saying about webinars, and as you know, we've established now this digital platform for far more organizations to come together and share practice. What's your reflections on how we can make that work, recognizing we can't get the living, breathing experience of visiting each other at the moment, but how can digital facilitate that sort of practice exchange, do you think?
No, absolutely. I mean, we cannot avoid to know now, even more than ever, that we are in an interconnected world. And that really what we're going to have to come up with is an hybrid version. So I think exchanges like we do in Changemakers, it's really a very marvelous tool. But also, you know, to have a more direct contact with colleagues that have got the same sort of problems and opportunities to develop. I think it's absolutely important. I mean, the network that we that Family for Every Child offer of this 41, and I think we will be probably 50 by the end of the year, and how we can continue through the digital to have these contacts is super important. And webinars are one way of doing it. This sort of podcast are another way of doing it. But in fact, I think in the end also, we do need the touch. We do need to talk with people. You know, the meetings in the corridors, you learn so much in the meetings in the corridors. The meetings with other people dealing with the same issues, but taking a different take are so important. So we need to have an hybrid process, in which we do a lot more of digital because now we know we can do it, but and we can reach much more, you know, the impact we can have is much wider. But then when you want to go to the essence of things, you still do need some of your visits. And then the thematic approach that we're taking to have big discussions, programs, interventions at that level are also very important. And the other thing is, how do we connect with the UN? How do we connect with other bodies that are also having high level discussions, and how can we influence policy? I think that's also super important. So we have to think of it at different levels, no? How do we do it at a scale of the UN? How do we do it in our regions? How do we do it in our countries? And how we connect each other? So, I think those are the various levels that I think we need to be working, and all of them are relevant because they all bring something different.
And actually, what's the sort of hope of the Changemakers for Children platform is exactly that. It will create a much wider community of practitioners. But the beauty of it being digital is you can have access to sort of the UN and things in a way that, for, as you were saying, sort of for Sandria in the Caribbean, for you in Delhi, Isabel, for you in Puebla, that access to New York and Geneva is a huge investment for a local civil society organization. But the digital, we hope, is going to create that gateway to access, which is going to be so important for your knowledge and your experience to be able to influence the UN policy, as well as the influence for practitioners of others. Just in closing then, Rita, did you have any reflections on, you know, the context in which we're now operating in terms of COVID and the opportunities that technology might provide, and yet the importance of practice exchange through that?
I think the COVID, it's an adversity, but I think it's also an opportunity for us. And I see the opportunities in various sectors. I see it in mental health, which is very important. And I think there will be resources available for mental health, for emotional well-being. And I think there'll be more international donors for coming into that. The other is the whole area of education. I find because of the online teaching learning that is taking place, the world over in Africa and Asia and a lot of Latin American countries, most of the children do not have access to smartphones, or for that matter, have laptops and tablets to be able to continue their education. So a lot of children have fallen, I think, in their learning levels, and that's a worrying factor. So how do we keep children in schools rather than them dropping out and joining the ranks of child labor? It's another area. I think education would be another area that would. I would also say that areas of, I think that, you know, children in conflict with law, I mean, although there has been a lot being, you know, in the newspaper, they're writing about it, but there isn't any kind of an evidence-based research to tell us that what happened, why is it that you're saying that there are more children in conflict with law right now? Or for that matter, they are being incarcerated in the detention center and their trials are not taking place for now over a year. You know, so there are these kind of issues. Children on the move. I mean, migration is a huge problem now. People are migrating inter-country and in search of livelihood. So I think that as an alliance, there are a lot of us doing all pieces of work. You know, there are some are working in the area of children on the move, some on therapeutic approaches, some on sexual violence, which is another area, on education. So we are working on very, very important thematic areas. It's for us to now look at it and say that which is the area that we need to really focus on. And focus on means in the sense that is most relevant and crucial for children and their families. I think that's what we need to do. And once you do that, I think, you know, I don't think funding should be an issue. Funding will be there for these areas of work. So as an alliance, I think all the organizations who are members of the alliance are doing extraordinary work in very difficult times. And I think the research that will come out of what everybody did during the pandemic would be a great piece of advocacy and for fundraising. Mm. That's what I would see it as. Mm.
I absolutely agree. I think that the Changemakers for Children platform, what we're hoping is that that's why it was established, was we all know people are in a totally different situation here. The challenges that you're facing in terms of how to deliver my work and what are the challenges for families and children? How do I have to adapt? What are the new factors that are coming into play that I need to be responding to? The opportunity to connect with, you know, multiple numbers of practitioners to share those challenges, to find out what else you're doing, how you're doing things differently, what new trends are starting to emerge, is to create a collective and a community that can really respond to this very challenging and very unusual, but we anticipate going to be the future in which we're going to operate for quite some time. Isabel, did you want to have some closing remarks as well? Thanks, Rita, for those. But
no, just, you know, that we need to continue. We need to continue the exchange. That's the richness of this network. We need to continue to explore new digital ways of making that exchange and to reach more and more children and more families. And that the right to live in family is well established throughout the world. And that's our focus and that's where we're working. And I really thank Rita and you for this opportunity. And I hope if anybody wants to learn more about the work of Fukoni across the world, we're here and we want to help.
Brilliant. Thank you both. So anybody out there who's thinking, I need to know more about therapeutic approaches and or I need to understand more about children's participation, that's only just two elements of which Uconi and Butterflies could share immense wealth of understanding and experience. So thank you both for sharing your insights about the practice exchange, how you've mutually supported each other in improving your practice, and so openly shared about Butterflies and Uconi's experience of a successful exchange of practice between local CSOs. Isabel, thank you so much. Rita, thank you so much. I think that the sort of salient points that come out of this for me is that the beauty of a practice exchange is that it's so multifaceted, that if you're doing something statically, learning through a course or training or something, then it can be quite singular. But if you're in the approach of the practitioner, then you pick up so much more. I thought what was so beautiful is that how you demonstrated that both sides have learnt, that you've learnt from each other through that process rather than a one-way sort of experience of learning. That how both of you have applied what you've learnt from the other, not just in terms of your context, but how you've integrated that into your own organisational approaches, owned it, made it yours, basically, but also adapted it to the new situation, as you were saying, Rita, about how you've been able to think about the therapeutic approaches linked into children's participation, then applied to the buddy system in the COVID context, which is a fantastic way of adaptation to adaptation, but yet still staying true to what you found. And what I think is important from both of your experiences is how foundational the shift has been for both of your organisations. As Isabel says, basically one of three pillars of her work now is children's participation, and she's now able to disseminate that more widely. And for you, Rita, a fundamental part of your work is now framed in that more holistic way, which incorporates mental health. So it's been a really real foundational shift for both organisations. And what I think so beautiful is, as you said, Rita, it validates both of you because for the wisdom that you have generated, developed and generated over so many years' experience. So congratulations to both of you. I'm so glad it's worked so well. And thank you to those of you joining to listen to this Conversations in Care podcast. In the next episode of this Power of Civil Society podcast mini-series, I'll be speaking with Suzanne Clulow from Cindy in South Africa on their experience of collaborative research with local CSOs, which has led to some really fantastic national level and regional level advocacy with other Family for Every Child members in Africa. So you can sign up to receive alerts of the new podcasts and other activities via the How We Care website at www.howwecare.community. And we look forward to welcoming you all onto the Changemaker for Children community platform, where you can have the opportunity to learn from not just Rita and Isabel, but from many other practitioners. And if you're interested in that, please visit changemakersforchildren.community to register. The more users there are there, the stronger we will be. So we hope we'll join us next time. And thank you for listening, and goodbye.